we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter 10 this morning. We begin today, if you know, as we've been traveling through this great, incredible, wonderful epistle of Paul's. I love 2 Corinthians because it exposes the heart of Paul like no other of his epistles do. But you know, the thing is chapter 10, now 10 to 13, we will now, that'll bring to the conclusion, if you will, of this great epistle. And so we're going to leave behind from chapters 8 and 9, remember the joy of generosity. Now, something happens in chapter 10. You know, you remember how the church at Corinth, man, they had repented. Paul's heart is no longer broken. He is rejoicing. But chapter 10, all of a sudden, there's an abrupt change. It's like dark and light, man. It's just unbelievable. And here's the things that we need to really concentrate on as we conclude, not today, of course, but finish out this epistle. We have four chapters. These four chapters, to me, are the saddest and most heartbreaking chapters, I believe, that Paul the Apostle, that great man of God, ever penned. You know, Paul loved the church at Corinth, amen? If you've been through any of the teachings on this incredible epistle, you know that. Paul told the church at Corinth, he says, you know what, guys? The more I love you, we'll find that out later on, but the more I love you, the less that you love me. He cries out to this church that has caused so much heartache, and he says, you know, he says, I would gladly let my life be spent for you. I would die for you guys. That's how much he loves this church and, of course, all the churches. But this abrupt change, there's a reason for it. Remember that the majority of the church at Corinth, they repented. Amen? Okay, we left off with that. And then the joy of generosity. But now there's a rebellious, wicked minority that's there, in, like a pocket, if you will, in the church at Corinth. It's filled with false teachers that are not even saved, and they're leading the sheep astray, a few of them, not all of them, the small pocket. And Paul is going to address this rebellious minority, if you will. And so these last six verses, that are the six verses we're going to cover this morning, you should memorize them. You should read them every day, because every day I go to these scriptures in my walk with the Lord, because I need to remind myself of what they teach, what they mean, and how true they are. If these six verses deal with spiritual warfare, not against man, but against the powers of darkness. So I pray that you embrace this. Now, something happens now in verse 10. If you went back and studied the last chapters, you would notice that Paul uses pronouns, you know, us, we, and so forth. But here, he changes, and it becomes very personal. I want you to notice what Paul does. Paul, right now, is about to take the pen out of the hand of his copyist or the secretary, the person that's writing this for him as he dictates it. And now Paul is going to write these words from here on out himself, beginning in chapter 10, verse 1. This is actually the title of this message. It says, Paul says, now I, Paul, myself, say that with me, now I, Paul, myself, and let's look what he's doing this morning. He says, I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you, and look how he does it, by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ Jesus, who in presence, meaning when I'm present, I'm lowly among you, but being absent, I'm bold toward you. Paul the Apostle, man, when he says, now, I, Paul, myself, I am pleading with you. I am begging you. I'll do anything for you to reconsider your position right now. And I'm doing so in the meekness and in the gentleness of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. What does Paul teach us right there? That when we're confronted, and this is spiritual warfare, loved one. Whenever we're in a spiritual warfare or whatnot, we need to imitate what Paul just did, and that is he imitates the Savior, Jesus Christ. We, you know, the Bible says for us in Ephesians 5:1, It says to imitate our Lord as dear children. Amen. It says in 1 John 2:6, it says, you know, that if we say that we abide in him, meaning Jesus, then we ought to walk just as he walked, and there was no one more meek and lowly than our Lord. Amen. Now, with all that being said, when you think about that word meekness or gentleness, you know, the Bible calls a man, it says there was, scripture says in Numbers 12:3, said there was a man on earth, his name was Moses. Remember him? He was the meekest man out of all the men on the earth. Can you imagine God saying that about you or me? I mean, meek. Man, I look at that. And, you know, think about Moses for a minute. I mean, how would you be meek if one day you heard a sound and you saw a little fire up on the hill and you walked up there and you heard these words, Moses, Moses, you know, come on. The burning bush, man, God speaking to you. You know, would you be meek? If you, all of a sudden, God says, you know, smite the rock, water will come out of it. You bet, Lord. Boo, there comes all. You, do you understand what I'm getting at? Can you imagine parting the Red Sea? Can you imagine being up on Mount Sinai 40 days, 40 nights, no food, no water, you don't need it, you're with God. And what does he receive? He receives the Ten Commandments. He receives the design for the tabernacle, the design for the priesthood, all of that. That's Moses. Or what about Paul, the writer of this epistle? Can you imagine Paul? I mean, he was saved by the Lord, the risen, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen? On the road to Damascus. He raised the dead. He healed people. The Bible, as we will learn in chapter 12, he was caught up into the heavenlies. He went into heaven. Now, do you think you might be on TBN if any of those things happened to you? But not Paul. Why? Paul says, I'm coming to you and I'm begging you right now. I'm doing so in the meekness. I'm doing so in the very gentleness of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He says, listen, you know, I don't want to have to come and be bold. I just want you to straighten your act up. I want you to repent of what you're doing. I want you to get away from those lying false teachers. That's what Paul was saying. Listen, there is no one, think about it for a minute. There's no one on this planet who could harness the power of meekness and gentleness and keep it in control like Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah, listen, Warren Wiersbe, I don't know if you've ever heard of Warren. You should have. He's one of the great Bible expositors who passed away, actually, this month. I think it was May the 2nd. Great man of God. Great Bible teacher. He said this. He said, meekness is not weakness, but it's the power of God under control. Boy, that is a good word. We're controlled by the Spirit of God. Amen? Now, with all that being said, you know, when we walk in that meekness, we also walk in that gentleness. The gentleness is a wonderful thing. Paul writes to Philippi, and he says in Philippians 4:5, he says, let your gentleness be known, be broadcast. Let it be known to all men. And he says, for the Lord is at hand. Gentleness is a good thing. Did you know if you read, say, I think it's, I don't know, 2 Timothy 3, maybe verse 3, I'm probably wrong, but I might not be. That did you know gentleness is a prerequisite for those who lead in the church? A gentle spirit, you know, loving people. Paul the Apostle was a great man of God. That tells us that you know, when you're in spiritual warfare, loved one, or it just being a Christian, there is no place for pride in the life of the Christian. Boy, I'll tell you, you want to get set up by the devil, you want him to be able to move and open door into your life, then you know what? He loves you to walk in pride or to be prideful. Now, you say, Bill, why did you go over and over about meekness and gentleness? You ready? Don't forget this. You better write it down. That is the character that is needed in any time you're going through a spiritual battle from the enemy or with anyone in your life. Are you listening to me? That is a prerequisite, loved one. True spiritual power comes from true meekness in your life and true gentleness. Verse 2, but I beg you that when I am present or whenever I'm going to come arrive in Corinth, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against who? Some. Very important word. That against some is talking about now the false teachers that we'll learn about over in chapter 11. And so those are the ministers of Satan. Now look at it. I'm going to, which I intend to be bold against some, and look what they do, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Just because a believer, especially in spiritual warfare, when we walk in the spirit of meekness and gentleness, it doesn't mean, number one, that we water down the word not to offend. It doesn't mean that we practice tolerance. That's not what this is at all. Paul, this is a war epistle, man. We're talking about war, spiritual warfare right here. That's why Paul says, now I, Paul, myself, he said, you work for the devil. He said, not only do you work for the devil, you're false apostles. You're deceitful ministers of the devil. Now, does that sound like meekness to you? No, he didn't water down the word at all. And that's why he said there, where it says, against some who think of us as though we walked according to the flesh. He used that phrase to describe them. Walking according to the flesh means you're carnal. It means you're an unbeliever. He says, that's not us, man. He says, that is you. Now, here it comes. For though we walk in the flesh, though we live in this body, though we live in the flesh, though we live in the world, we do not war according to the flesh. You see those two W's, walk and war. You're involved in warfare right now, whether you know it or not. I can assure you, that's why I prayed the prayer I prayed. Lord, if there's any demonic activity trying to stop this work, because the devil doesn't want you to hear this, I promise you. He doesn't want anyone to hear this word because he knows then that it renders him ineffective because he's defeated. Amen? So, for though we walk in the flesh, Paul says, we do not war in the flesh. So Paul says, okay, let me tell you how to engage in spiritual warfare when you are attacked. And he says, I want you to do not war according to the flesh. We live in this world, but we're not conformed to the standards of this world. Amen? And look what he says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of this world, in other words. So Paul says, you can't depend upon human weapons. You have to have heavenly weapons. Listen to me now. No human wisdom, no human plan, no human strategy, no human weapon, carnal, flesh, weapon, can defeat the wicked one. You can't do it. Boy, I tell you what the devil wants. He loves for a believer that's under attack when all hell comes against you, wherever it might be in your walk. He loves you to try to defeat that issue or fight that issue or that warfare in your own flesh, in your own wisdom. Thinking, well, I can handle this. I can get through it. No, you can't. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not your strength. Loved one, listen now. You cannot fight spiritual battles with carnal weapons. So Paul says again, for the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They're not of this world, but look what they are. They're mighty. They're powerful. They're mighty in God. And look at the purpose, for pulling down strongholds. In other words, to tear down, to destroy, to demolish. That's what that word means. So did you notice that the weapons of our warfare, that they're not listed? Did you see that? It just says, Paul just comes right out and says, oh, well, the weapons of our warfare. Well, Paul, can you give us a little bit more information? I believe that the Holy Spirit did this on purpose. You know why? Because you need to dig into the Word of God to find the answers to that. You need to know we have weapons of our warfare, but they're not listed. Well, what in the world are they? Loved one, listen, the Bible is the only book on earth that didn't originate on earth. It came from heaven, amen? This is God breathed. This is the Word of the living God. You're dealing every day, whether you know it or not, he hates you. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. You are dealing right now with the greatest defeated deceiver in all of the universe. And the Bible says that we are not ignorant of his devices. However, if you don't know the Word of God, if you don't open your Bibles, if you don't study, then you are ignorant of his devices. Amen? And God doesn't want us to do that. Listen, your enemy, he is the God of this age. He's the blinder of minds. He is the father of every falsehood, every lie. Not only that, he appears, as we will learn in the other chapters, he appears as an angel of light. What does that mean? It means that he takes darkness and he makes that darkness look like light that you might embrace it. He is so smooth. He is so subtle, loved one. I'll tell you, that's no wonder the Bible says in Ephesians 6:11, it says that you put on, that's your responsibility, put on the whole armor of God, not just one or two pieces, the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods, the strategies of the devil. Did you put your armor on this morning? The devil doesn't like the armor of God. He doesn't like the shield of faith because he knows that if a believer knows what the shield of faith is, he knows then that, well, he can quench all my fiery darts. Are you following me? But you have to know the Word of God, and you also have to believe the Word of God. See, these weapons of our warfare, they're not listed, but let me give you a few. The first one, which is so vital, is prayer. Prayer will always be the work. It takes you to the place, the throne of grace, where you can obtain whatever is needed. Amen? In time of need. You can go there freely because you're born again. You can come boldly because you're born again. Now listen, prayer is always going to be the work. You know, the Bible says in James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. And if you do, you ask amiss. Boy, you got to be careful in our prayer times. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, it says, keep on asking, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Door will be opened. Amen. If you knock on it, we need to be a people of prayer. The devil doesn't want you to pray. That's why you hear me say all the time, did you have a quiet time? You know, sometimes, like when we have leadership meetings, what I do just to punish the leadership, I'll go, tell me, what did God show you in your quiet time this morning? So if I walk up to you after the service and ask you, you better, you can run. Did you, now listen, I love you, I'm not beating on you. But did you have a quiet time? Did you pray this morning? Or did you read the Fort Worth Star-Telegram? I don't think people even read the newspaper anymore. Did you pray? If you didn't, man, your day started out wrong. I don't care who you are, how much you walk in love. If you didn't start out with God, the first thing, there's a problem. Prayer is the work, loved one. And the second thing, another weapon, is walking in the Spirit, amen? Being full of the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God, you know, and so forth. You know, if you don't know the Word of God and the Spirit of God is trying to lead you, it's hard for you to discern what's going on. For example, if you don't know the Word of God, then you don't know what it says in what is it, 2 Corinthians 2:14? Where if you want to be led by God, what does it say? Now thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph, who leads us in victory. Well, if you don't know that scripture, and if you don't know the Holy Spirit, then you're in trouble. But see, it's all right there in the Word of God. See, if you don't know God's Word, if you're not studying it, meditating upon it, you don't know that you're more than a conqueror. You don't know that you're not going to be defeated. Do you understand? That word, it's, man, that's manna. That is to our hearts, and we need to hide God's word in our hearts each and every day. See, if you don't know God's word, then you don't know what 1 John 4:4 is. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Amen? So what does that tell us? Here's our greatest weapon. It is the living Word of God. It says in Ephesians 6:17, it says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is our only offensive weapon when it comes to the armor of God. Taking the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit supplies the Word of God. The Spirit is the source of the Word of God because the Word of God is God-breathed. Listen, when you take God's Word, loved one, the living, the powerful, the eternal, the never-changing holy Word of God, oh, listen, it changes everything. And you know what? Satan will do anything, I mean anything, to prevent you from entering in and learning and studying the Word of God. If you don't have a biblical worldview, Christian, you're defenseless against your enemy, the devil, because you don't know what to do. As a matter of fact, you may not even know he's beating you up. You may not know why all these things are happening in your life. And you know what that means if you're not in God's word? It means this: yes, I'm born again. Praise the Lord, I'm sealed with the Spirit. But you can remain in a broken mind if you don't study out God's word. See, you have to go to the word of God. And if you don't do that, you're still then born again, but you're still thinking like the world. Your mind has not been renewed. And an unrenewed mind, loved one, is an unarmed mind against the wicked one. The Bible is the greatest weapon that you can ever, ever have. Man, listen, we have the word of God that is eternal. It will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words will never pass away. Amen. And the word of God, God says, I am God, I cannot lie. We have the truth of God's word. We live right now in a time of great deception, not only in the world, not only in the nation, oh gosh, but in the church as well. You see, we know it. I'm not condemning anyone, any pastors or whatnot, whatever. I'm not responsible for what anybody does out of here. But it's heartbreaking when the word of God is not taught, it's watered down. Why would we ever want to water down God's word and make it more pleasing or more comfortable and easy to take in? Listen, I like a good spanking sometimes. Do you understand? You read, oh God, I'm doing, oh Lord, forgive me. Do you understand? I need to be corrected. We all need to remain teachable in our hearts. Listen, Satan is removing or trying to remove the only weapon that will keep him defeated. He is terrified of the word of God. He is terrified of someone, a believer, who will have a biblical worldview. You know, I was in a prayer time the other day, not here at the church, but someplace else with some other people. And so as we gathered, you know, one of them started binding the devil and chasing the devil and spitting at the devil, whatever. I was right to praise the Lord. All right, let's do it, you know. But then after the prayer time was over with, I realized, you know, that these guys, man, they're kind of weak in Bible knowledge. In other words, like, you know, I said, do you know this and that? And no, I don't. What is that? I said, oh, wow. I said, you're over there beating up the devil, binding the devil, but you don't have any knowledge of God's word. I said, man, you need to grow in God's word. Amen. Listen, you think that you can just say, I bind the devil or I rebuke the devil, and you don't know what you're doing and you don't have any knowledge of God's word? Oh, loved one, it doesn't work like that. You know, listen, it's terrible that they do all that and then they go, and you ask, what's justification? I don't know. Well, what's sanctification? I don't know. What do you think holiness means? Holy. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, we can do things and not have proper knowledge. We must have God's word. See, there are those that when they think of the Holy Spirit, they don't think of the Holy Spirit as the person, the third person of the Trinity. They don't think of the Holy Spirit as God. He is God. Amen? You know, they look, you hear people go, well, it, you know, he's the Holy Spirit's an it, or he's an essence, or he's a force, or the Holy Spirit is a language. No, no, no. You need to know who the Holy Spirit is, because he lives in you. He's alongside of you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Amen? He's the Spirit of truth. And if you don't know him, if you don't have a relationship with him, you are in trouble. Now, it says here, for the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. Again, they're not of this world. They're mighty in God, or God empowered. And look at the purpose. What are they for? For the pulling down of strongholds, not people. Do you hear me? This is so important that you see that. Paul is not against people in these six verses. He's against what the people are doing. Look at chapter 10. There, you're in 10. Go down to verse 8. And look what Paul the apostle says in verse 8. He says, for even if we should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave for us, and look what it was for, his authority. For what? Edification. That's to build up the believer and not for destruction. Listen, Paul is not trying to destroy any people. He even wants the false teachers to be saved. But what is Paul destroying? Lies He's tearing down strongholds. He's destroying these fortresses that are full of the demonic realm. Does that make sense? It's so important, loved one, that we see that, because it's not about people here. It's about what the people were doing. But if you don't know what a stronghold is, how in the world are you going to tear it down in your own personal life? How, if you don't know God's word, how are you going to, and don't know what the stronghold is, how are you going to remove it? Listen, in context right here, when he says, for the pulling down of strongholds, in context, this is about wrong thoughts that were being received from these false teachers. So we could look at it this way. They're wrong thoughts. They're things that are not true, but are lies. Man, listen, any type of thinking, a stronghold is any type of thinking that exalts itself above the true living knowledge of God, meaning God's word. What was Paul doing? He was pulling down false doctrine, which came from seducing spirits and the teaching of doctrines of demons. That's what those false ministers were doing. Boy, I'll tell you, you can't pull down lies of the enemy unless you know the truth of God. Amen? So what I encourage you to do is to check out your own thinking. Check out your own mind. Is there anything up there that you, not on purpose, not even knowingly, but you have put there that has exalted itself above what God says in his word? Now, if you have done that or allowed that, then that's, loved one, is where you'll find a stronghold. What do I mean by that? Satan knows, if you're a believer, Satan knows that he cannot have all of your thinking. Amen? But he'll settle for just a piece of your thinking. He just wants a little pocket. He just wants a tiny little room. You see, and he wants that little area that you're confused about, and he wants to be able to put a lie there, an untruth there. He wants you to believe that little lie, and he wants you to act upon it and treat that little pocket of lies that are there and treat them as truth. See, that's exactly what he wants. An unrenewed mind is a worldly, empty mind. It is a piece of soil, loved one. Oh, for the devil. I'm telling you, it's perfect soil to embrace darkness that appears to be his light. Are you following me? That is so important. And look what he says here. He says, casting down arguments, or literally, I like the King James better, casting down imaginations, which mean false doctrine and false doctrine and so forth. So Paul says, he says, I, Paul, myself, I am destroying, I am casting down all these demonic arguments. Again, nothing to do with people, but the false doctrine. And watch this. And every high thing, let me give you another translation, every elevated thing, or every proud obstacle, every high thing that exalts itself against, or literally in defiance of, the true knowledge of God. He's talking now about the false teachers. He says, I'm going to tear those lies down. I'm going to prove that they are totally wrong and so forth. Listen, spiritual warfare is not against people, even though people may be causing the problem. Does that make sense? We don't fight against flesh and blood, do we? No, not at all. So spiritual warfare is not against people, but it's against the thinking and the thoughts and the patterns and the philosophies and all the other junk that comes with it. This is literally a picture in front of us of the Antichrist. He's going to be here one day. He may be already here on this planet. We don't know yet. But the fact of the matter is that when he does come, what does he want? He wants to control all people, doesn't he? He wants to control all thinking of all people. And how do I know that? Well, it says they're going to receive a mark on their forehead, which represents thinking and their thoughts. They're going to receive the mark or on their right hand, which talks about their work and so forth. They can't buy, they can't sell, they can't do anything. They can't think unless they have that mark and they're totally controlled. That's what Satan wants from everyone. He's a deceiver. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. And it says, watch this now, this glorious part, the rest of it, bringing every thought into captivity. What is Paul talking about? Is he talking about capturing people? No, he didn't say that, did he? He's talking about capturing the thought process or the way of life. That's an incredible statement. He says right here, he says, let every thought be subject to Christ. If you look up that word in the Greek, captivity, okay, here in our text, you'll find that it means someone who takes a spear, okay? It takes a spear to take something captive. So what is Paul saying? He says to every believer, you have to take your spear, or the sword of the Spirit, whichever way you want to look at it, and you have to take every false thought or every lie, and you have to capture that lie with the truth of God's word. Does that make sense? God, that's so important. You know why so many Christians are frustrated? It's because they don't know God's word. And if they do know God's word, you also have to believe God's word. Amen? See, you have to apply that to your life. Satan attacks the mind. He loves to attack the mind because he knows that your mind, my mind, that is our operating system. In other words, that's where fear or guilt or worry and anxiety, all of that comes into play right there. He loves to put you under stress. He loves to just, and when you're under stress, he wants to put down more stress upon you. Satan loves, he loves a double-minded man because he knows that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That a double-minded Christian, I'm over here, I don't know what I believe, what to believe, I don't want to have to do my homework. No, that doesn't work. See, a double-minded man who is unstable again in all of his ways, he's being tossed to and fro on this earth, okay? That is like a playground for the devil. Man, he loves that so much. See, Satan knows something else about the mind. He knows that in Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh within himself, so he is. What does that mean? It means that we are the essence, basically the essence of what we think, our thought life. And Satan, he understands that. Listen, Satan wants to do something. He wants to hold your mind or part of your mind, or boy, the lost for sure, he wants to hold your mind hostage. But what does God want? God wants you to take your mind and your thoughts when you're born from above, but your mind is not renewed yet. You have to go to the Word of God, and you have to renew your mind. Now listen, what is a thought? You ever just think about it for a minute. What is a thought? Isn't it just a bunch of words that come into your mind? Huh? You know, you're a loser, whatever. You know, you know what I'm saying. You don't ever hear words like that? Yeah, thank God. Good man out there, you know. No, listen, thoughts contain words. Now, some of the thoughts are truths. Some of them are lies. So what is a stronghold? He says we have to pull down these strongholds. Well, a stronghold is nothing more than a house, if you will, built around thinking or built around your thoughts. And a stronghold, then, is any type of thinking that literally exalts itself above the Word of God. That's a very important thing to know, loved one. You know, Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in its end, it's the way of death. Did you know a person who is outside of Christ, that's in Adam, their minds are broken? They're broken. They're of the flesh. They act like the flesh. They're the natural man. They live by their senses and so forth. They're not born from above. And you know what happens? They're held captive by Satan. Well, this just seems right to me. What do you think we ought to do here? Well, it seems right. Feels good. I was watching the little boy on TV the other day. Broke my heart. I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years old. And it was talking about, you know, he says, I can choose my own gender. I said, well, you're a boy. How are you going to choose your own gender? Well, I can become a girl. And I'm old now. So I don't understand anything in this world anymore. There's nothing. I can walk into Kroger to buy groceries, and I'm still lost. I don't know what to do anymore. I feel like I want to just go to the, sit there at the front of the, hold a sign that says, repent. No, I'm serious. You know, we live in a broken world, amen, full of broken lives, and Jesus is the only answer. And I look and I say, oh, Lord, and you're going to choose your gender. You know what he said? Well, it just seems right. It just seems so right. There is a way that seems right unto man. But in the end, it leads only to death. Loved one, listen to me now. We are in a war. And you must cast down lies. If you don't, then they will slowly begin to operate in your thinking, and you don't want that there. You have to have a biblical worldview. I hear it all the time, and I don't know why people do this. For example, I hear this more than any of them. I don't think God loves me anymore. Where did you find that in the Bible? And who told you that? That's a stronghold. Did you know that? God can't love me. Oh, quit. You're so full of pride. Stop it. You're the only person on earth that God can't love. I know. Oh, well, I don't blame you. I couldn't love you either. But no. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where does that come from? Oh, you know, but God does love us. God is love. You can't change God's love. Do you understand? I don't care who you are and what you've done. God is love, and his love doesn't go up or down. His love is constant. It is unchangeable. He loves you. He loves you. He proved his love. Romans 5:8. But God proves or demonstrates his own love for us. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen? Oh, listen, we've got to understand, you know, we're not a loser. I hear that all the time. I told the first service, I said, you know, there's times that I'm teaching right here. And this is true. And I'll hear this voice. You need to retire. They're not listening to you, old man. They're just here. They're just filling a seat. You know, you need to, you understand, I always just say, shut up. You know? No, you see, it's a lie. He doesn't tell me when to retire, and there's no retirement in the Bible. He didn't tell me, you're done now, boy. No, whenever God says, get out of that pulpit, Bill, you're killing me. When he says that, then I'll do it, amen? Yeah, but no, you understand, God can't forgive me, not this time. Where did you get that from? You can run to God, and he'll forgive you. He is faithful and just. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Oh, but I tell you, Bill, I don't know. It's just, you know, I'm not going to make it. My kids are not going to make it. Who told you that? Where does that kind of thinking come? I can't make it. I'm going to lose my job. And who told you that? You're never going to be defeated. Don't look at what you see. Look at the unseen. Look at heaven. Look at God. He's there, man. God is, psalmist, for this I know, God is for me. The devil is the one against you. See, if you start letting those lies come in, that's a stronghold. It's a house built upon thoughts. You've got to rip that thing out. You've got to get your spear and say, get out of my life. Get away from me. Oh, your kids are not going to make it. Look at them. Oh, that, and you have to go, shh, just get away from me. I will not receive that into my way of thinking because only God can control my thoughts, and I'm controlled. I have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible says in Corinthians, it says we are have the mind of Christ. The church, we're the depository of the mind of Christ. We have God's word living in us. Well, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it to heaven. You're just deceived to think you're really saved. Look at you. Look at what you've been thinking. Look what you did last night. Look what you think about those people. Look at those secret thoughts in your heart. You're not going to make it. You know what you have to do? You have to say, what? Where are those lies coming from? Are they coming from God? No, you have to say to that lie. You have to capture that lie with the truth. Does that make sense? You say, oh, really? Well, I don't know about you, but he, I always kind of do it that way. He who began a good work in me, do you understand? Will complete it until the very day of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? See, you've got to take God's truth. And you have to capture that lie. You're in every day of your life, every day. You can be in your prayer time early in the morning and something will hit you. And I'm going, where did, oh, I know where it came from. That's a lie. Matter of fact, sometimes when that happens to me, you know what I do? I open up the word and start reading it loudly to him, whoever that is. You understand? I say, you want to hear, I'm going to sing it to you too. Do you follow me? Oh, loved one, we've got to do those things. Listen to me now. An unrenewed mind is an empty mind. You've got to renew your mind. And if you don't renew your mind, you cannot pull down one stronghold, because number one, you don't even know what a stronghold is. Listen, the Bible tells us, what did Paul write in Romans? He wrote 11 chapters telling the church at Rome and us, the Magna Carta of the New Testament, loved one, 11 chapters, who we are in Christ Jesus. And then when you get to Romans 12:1, what does Paul say? Now he asks us to do something. He asks the believer to do something. He goes, oh, I beg you, I beseech you, I urge you, I entreat you, I beseech you. He says that you present yourselves a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service or your reasonable worship. Amen? And then he goes on in verse 2. And what does he say? He says, oh, and do not be conformed, squeezed into the mold of the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? There is no transformation without the renewing of your mind. You have to get into God's word every day of your life. Memorize it. Meditate upon it. Unless you know the truth of God, how can you apply the truth of God? And unless you know the truth, listen to me now, you're not free. You've been set free, but you're not free. Does that make sense? What did Jesus say in John 8:31? He says, you are my disciples indeed if you continue in my word, verse 32, my life scripture, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, loved one, if you don't know the truth, then you're hearing lies. Does that make sense? See, you put the truth in you, man, the truth of God's word. Jesus said in John 17:17, he said, thy word is truth. Take that truth, man, and breathe that truth. When a lie comes in, you capture that lie right there, wad it up and say, no, this is what God's word said. I'm putting you where you belong. I'm going to put you in prison. I'm going to put you in the trash. You can't live in my thinking. You can't live in my mind. Now, look what he says to do with all this stuff. He says, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. I love that. Now look how it's done. To the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? It means that you make that word now. You take that life. No, and obedience. I say, no, I obey Christ. I follow the Lord. That's a lie. Jesus, what did Jesus tell us in John 14:15? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John the Apostle writes, he says in 1 John 5:3, he says, and this is love for God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Love him, that's what we need to do. He says, you know, you cannot destroy the stronghold unless you know what it is. You can't destroy the house of thoughts, that stronghold, unless you go into the fort, the fortress, and you tear that apart. See, that's battlefield talk. That's what Paul is talking about. Paul is saying, you know what? I'm coming to Corinth, and I'm going to destroy the false doctrine of all these people who are teaching false doctrine against God's word. And look what all he says. And being ready to punish, not people, punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete or fulfilled. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to not only the false teachers, but to the rebellious minority in that pocket at that church who's still holding on to those things. See, this is military talk. Paul says, you know what? A mighty general of God, he's coming to Corinth. And those that are teaching these lies, here's the deal. You either going to repent or you better run. Amen. I love Paul. Paul says, now I, Paul, myself, I destroy these arguments. And I do so by supernatural weapons that God has given to me. These weapons of my warfare, which are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of all these strongholds. Christian, listen to me. You have to rise up for your family, for your children, for your marriage, for what your singleness, whatever it might be. And you have to say, now I, Bill, myself, I take every thought captive. Why? Because I'm in a war. And I don't like the devil. And I don't like him putting those lies in my mind. Are you listening to me? I don't want that. Man, we need to wake up the church today. You need to wake up. Listen, if I say these, you know I love you. I'm not trying to beat you up, but I'm going to say it in love. Are you too lazy to open your Bibles? Let's applaud. Huh? Are you too lazy to open your Bibles? I love you. I'm not beating on you. You can have 100 Bibles. You can have a Bible on your iPhone, on your iPad. You can have scriptures all over your house. Have pictures with scriptures all over. But do you know them? Do you believe them? Do you apply them? If there's ever been a time that we need to beware, it is today. Do you know how many pastors right now, not only have they watered the Word of God, they have changed the Word of God, and they've opened up darkness to come into their churches? It's rampant. It is rampant today. Beware. Listen, don't ever forget what I'm about to tell you. You know, you think, well, the devil always gives us those bad thoughts. You're a loser, da, da, da. No, no, no. The devil can give you good thoughts. And that is when you need to be aware of those good thoughts from the wicked one when he takes that his appears to be light, but it's really darkness, and you embrace it. Bill, can you prove that? Absolutely. There was a girl. She was the first woman ever made. Her name was Eve. And the tempter, subtle, there in the garden, he said this, "Oh, Eve, God knows in the day that you eat of this, you're going to be just like him, Eve." I'm sure Eve went, "You mean just like God? I love God. You mean if I eat this, if I partake, you mean I'm, yeah, you're going to be just like the Lord here." That was a very good thought. We all want to be like the Lord. We want to be from glory to glory to glory into his image. Amen. You have to be on guard. You have to be aware. Loved one, listen to me. Do you have, honestly, do you have a biblical worldview? That is so paramount today. See, either God is right or the world is right. They both can't be right. Do you understand? No, without the Word of God, it's impossible to understand the world around you. Without God's Word, it's absolutely impossible to know why you're born, why you're here, your purpose in life, and what happens during life and after life. Amen? You just don't know. You see, we have to have a biblical worldview, and we have to renew our minds. If we're not renewing our minds, I believe we're in sin. Ephesians 4:22, that you, Paul says, put off concerning your former conduct, meaning the old thinking, the old attitudes in life. The old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Okay, Paul, how in the world are we going to take off the old man now that we're born again? Here comes. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, your thinking, your thoughts. Why? That you are able to put on the new man, which was created in according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Listen to me. The only way to put off old habits, old thinking, the old world that we used to live in, we're not of this world any longer. Amen? The only way to put off and put on is by the renewing of your mind to the Word of God. There are only two types of minds on earth. No other, just two. There, you know, you, One mind is either being transformed to the things of God, or one or the other mind is being conformed to the very things of the world. Now, I'm close to closing. Just bear with me. But do you have a biblical worldview? Let me ask you a few questions that I wrote down just to ask you. This is a bit, just a little bit. Is there a kingdom of darkness and a kingdom of light? Is there a God of this age who is also the prince of the power of the air? Do you understand and accept this verse as fact, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places? Now listen, without that knowledge, the knowledge that comes from God's word, we are nothing more than blindfolded warriors. Do you understand? Oh, gosh, and we don't even know who our enemy is unless we have that in our hearts. You know, I don't know. Do you know Jesus? Is there someone here this morning say, listen, I don't know, I'm visiting, or I've just stumbled in here, or somebody invited me, I don't know. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? That means, are you following him? It doesn't mean you just said, yes, raise your hand, walk the aisle, but nothing ever changed. That's not being born again. Walking the aisle doesn't born again. Your heart has to change. Amen? Jesus has to come in. The Holy Spirit has to come in. Do you know Jesus as Lord? Now listen, if you don't, let me ask you a few questions. Why do you think that good news is bad news? If you think that you have all the answers to this life and the life after death, where'd you get that information from? Not only that, do you think you have it all together? If you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to ask you a question. Why do you think like that? Why do you think like that? See, you don't know why you think like that. If you don't know Christ, I know why. Because I used to think like that. I have it all together. I'm my own man. I'm my own person. Seems right to me. Get it? I didn't know it led to death. Just seems right to me. I'm a good person. Come on. I don't need a crutch. You know, bring me a Falstaff, would you? No, I don't need a crutch, you understand? No. I know why you think like that. Let me tell you, God, let God's word tell you. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, his birth, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his soon coming, paying for the debt, sin debt of the world. But if our gospel, Paul says, is veiled or hidden, it's hidden from those who are perishing. That means people who are alive right this minute, they go through the activities of life, but they're not born again. And they're marching toward the end of perishing, which is eternal death, separation from God forever and ever and ever. It says they're veiled for those who are perishing. Why? Whose minds, there it is, those broken minds. The minds of the, he says, the God of this age has blinded, that mental blindness. The reason? Well, lest they believe, and lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. Yep, Satan has the authority to blind minds. You don't need God. You don't need Jesus. You don't need him at all. He blinds man. Listen to me now. That mental blindness from the greatest news in all the world. You can be born again. Heaven can be your home. You can be cleansed of all guilt, all shame, all of it. But you know what Satan wants to do to unbelievers? Listen to me, because I was there. He wants to hold your mind hostage. He wants to keep your mind broken. Why? Why is it that way? Because Satan knows that if you're in Adam, if you're not born again, it's so much easier for a broken mind to believe lies than it is to believe the truth of God. But if you will say, if you don't know Jesus, if you will just say, you know what, man, if you will say, I, John, I, Mary, I, whatever, I, Bill, myself, I confess with my mouth. Jesus is Lord. And I believe right now, I don't want my mind held hostage. I believe right now that God raised Jesus from the dead. If you'll do that, there will be a veil taken away from your mind. You will be born from above, and you will know it in your heart. You will know that God is real. You can take that step right now. Right now, as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and every believer praying, listen carefully. If you have never asked Christ Jesus, say, just cry it out and say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I'm not about joining a church. You can't join the church. You have to be born again. Not talking about becoming a Calvary Chapel person. I'm talking about becoming a new creation. If you don't know Jesus, you can right now. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if there's anyone here that says, oh, Bill, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. You don't have to get up out of your chair, but you do have to do this. You just have to raise your hand high and say, Bill, I want to be a Christian. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be a new creation. I don't want my mind being held hostage anymore. If that's you, would you lift your hand up to God and say, Bill, pray for me. I want Christ to be my Lord. I'll ask one more time. If God is knocking on your heart, I beg you now, lift a hand and put it right back down. Well, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that all that are present belong to you. Great is the battle today, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that this church truly embraces a biblical worldview. Their minds will not be frustrated anymore, but they'll know the truth, and the truth will set them free. And they'll block and cast away and take captive the lies of the wicked. I ask that. I ask it in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we?